Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Chaitanya Charitamrita Chapter 6, The Glories of Sri Advaita Charya, page 37. He forgets himself in the joy of that conception and teaches all living entities. You are servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Because that means Sri Advaita Charya, however, even though Lord Chaitanya bows down to him, he considers Lord Chaitanya his master and thinks of himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya. So in the joy of that conception, he teaches. The conception of servitude to Sri Krishna generates such an ocean of joy in the soul that even the joy of oneness with the Absolute, if multiplied 10 million times, could not compare to a drop of it. He says, Nityananda and I are servants of Lord Chaitanya. Nowhere else is there such a joy as that which is tasted in this emotion of servitude. The most beloved goddess of fortune resides on the chest of Sri Krishna, yet she too, earnestly praying, begs for the joy of service to his feet. Right? So the point of Lakshmiji is on his chest because he can't separate the Lord and his internal potency. Right? So she's always with the Lord. But at the same time, it's just being there with that it's not doesn't have the same flavor as rendering service in that association. Does that make sense? That's why liberation has its limitation. Right? Even though it may be the spiritual liberation, but the point is it's still about just the experience of the thing. But if you have the same form as the Lord and don't render service, how much joy will be there? Or on the same planet but don't render service, or same opulences, or an associate but doesn't render service. So the rendering of service, that's the essential principle. That's the active principle. So the situation is there, that's nice, but it has to be applied. And the experience you get, okay, that's okay, but the point is it's pleasing Krishna. So the endeavor to make to please Krishna is where the real joy is. Hence that middle point, that the Abhideya, that's the prominent element. Yes? No? The prominent element. Yes?
So, if we connect it to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, can we say that Bibishai is the main focus? But then Ashray getting his experience and whatever it is in connection with Vishai, so the less the Ashray thinks about themselves in performing that service, that's more selfless it is.
Yeah, more selfless, but also the point is the happiness comes from Krishna. So the more you're absorbed in Krishna, the more happy you are. So if it's half about Krishna, half about yourself, then it will have that much happiness. But if it's all about Krishna and not about yourself, it'll have more. So the point is you're experiencing it, so you can tell it's there, but it's not that you're focusing on it, enjoying it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like the kirtan is going on, and you're absorbed in the kirtan. You're experiencing it, and you're experiencing that happiness. But if you stop and try to, you know, talk to someone, wow, isn't this a great kirtan? And then you're enjoying it. You're not. You don't experience it anymore. You understand? So that was the point previously about the aparoksha. When it's in connection with Krishna, you're there and the experience is much greater than anything we've done. Because we have the idea, no, only if I'm enjoying it, then it's good. But the thing is the happiness is beyond that. Because that enjoying it, you're only dealing with the situation is there, the mechanical things that's there, what's happened. you're not dealing with the actual dynamic experience itself. That's the aparoksha. Right? Because paroksha is less, because that's, I'm going to say, wasn't this great? Yeah, that was fabulous. So that's paroksha, it'll be less.
So it drops down.
It drops, yeah.
Does it mean also that the living entity can experience one thing at a time and Krishna can have multiple experiences?
Well, it's not so much multiple experiences, he is everything. So in that way, yes, then he... That's why he is the reservoir of pleasure.
Yeah.
We can taste that, but at the same time as how Krishna's arranged it, the ashraya actually enjoys more than the vishaya. So the whole thing is we're attracted by the idea of enjoying, but we don't actually even know what real enjoyment is. We're only used to getting rid of problems that creates happiness. We're not used to actually positive happiness. Like that. But it attracts us because that's what we come in contact in Krishna consciousness. That's the thing that we're looking for. So if we get distracted from that and start looking for things in the external, then yes, we will be not satisfied. You know, just like we weren't satisfied before. But then we'll turn to the karmis, because the karmis, they so-called are getting, look at the advertisements, look at people are talking, but they're not. You know, we were already doing that, but by Maya's illusion, we don't remember that. So that's why we always have to keep in the fire of Krishna consciousness in good association. Then we move forward dynamic. We know we're talking here about, you know, moving forward nicely to prema. But any benefit you've gotten, it's eternal, so it's never lost. But it's just a matter of, do you want to check out other things in the time, you know, waste your time in the time meantime. Is that what it says? It's a subtle point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You mentioned about experiencing, and when we stop experiencing and we're discussing about it, sharing our experience, that is enjoying. So,
from this context that we're putting here, but the devotees sit around and talk about Krishna and things in relation to Krishna, then that's still Krishna conscious. But then it's the experience, then there'll be that experience of that. What I mean is there's an experience, like I'm sitting there and eating, and I turn and say, oh wow, this is so good, it's so fabulous, and this, I'm not tasting it anymore. I've stopped eating, I'm talking, you know. Or if I'm still eating, then the conversation won't go so well. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm talking about. Not that devotees are talking about their experiences in Krishna consciousness and that, because then you're experiencing those experiences. We're talking about that you're saying how great this is and you're discussing that. That's the point of paroksha. You have to be able to tell the difference there. It's not that you're talking about it. That's what kirtan is. That's what sadhu sangha is you're discussing Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. It's a subtle point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes feel attraction to Krishna when he thinks that Krishna or deities of Krishna depend on him. Like that, yeah?
That deities, what?
Deities depend.
Deities depend on them.
Yes.
Okay.
Or little Krishna depend on him. Like mama, mother, and children depend on
him.
And in material world, sometimes we feel attachment to those who are younger than us and who depend on us, for example, children or some other people.
Right.
This quality, when we feel this desire that someone depend on us, it comes from the nature of soul because of relationship with Krishna, or it comes from our desire to be good.
I mean, the point is here it can be conditioning, because as it's pointing out that Vasudeva and Devaki, their desire for Krishna to be their son, then it's for the experience of having him as the son. While for Mother Jashoda, then it was about how Krishna performing his childhood pastimes, then that would deliver the world. So there's a slightly different mood there. So it's just a matter of whether it's in context of your own desire for enjoyment or not. Does that make sense? Yeah.
What
natural quality?
Means to be with relationship to jnanas enough.
No, that's not an inherent nature of the soul. The friendship or compassion, that is. So there may be that aspect, but that whole thing of taking care and all that. These are just the rasas. So we're here and here, so we deal with them according to our conditioning. Right? So if we're in that position, we're a parent, we have children, then we deal with them, we take the responsibility and train them properly. But we're doing it in connection with Krishna, so it's not that it's something that we're necessarily looking for. Right? But if there is the desire for that, one does and then engages them in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not a problem. Whatever the position is, if you connect it to Krishna, then you move forward. You develop in Krishna consciousness.
Should we try to remove this quality from our...
You can't remove the quality. You can only purify yourself and deal with these qualities connected to Krishna. You don't get rid of something. You engage. It's like the sense is giving you trouble. It's not you get rid of the sense. You engage the sense in Krishna's service. Is that what it is? So it's not a problem. It's about connecting to Krishna. All the associates of Lord Krishna, such as Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Sukha, and Sanatana Kumar, are very pleased in this sentiment of servitude. Sri Nityananda, the wandering mendicant, is the foremost of all the associates of Lord Chaitanya. He became mad in the ecstasy of service to Lord Chaitanya. Srivas, Haridas, Ramadasa, Garadhara, Murari, Mukunda, Chandrasekhara, and Vakreshwar are all glorious and are all learned scholars. But the sentiment of servitude to Lord Chaitanya makes them mad in ecstasy. Thus they dance, sing, and act like madmen, laugh like madmen, and they instruct everyone, just be loving servants of Lord Chaitanya. So even though they may be as close associates, great scholars, this and that, it's the servitude attitude towards Krishna that is bringing around this wonderful ecstasy. Sri Advaitacharya thinks, Lord Chaitanya considers me his spiritual master, yet I feel myself to be only his servant. Love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of devotional service, the way of Pancharatrika, regulative principles, and the way of Bhagavat, transcendental loving service. The love of Godhead of those engaged in Pancharatrika, regulative principles, depends more or less on the opulent and reverential platform. But the worship of Radha and Krishna is purely on the platform of transcendental love. Even persons who play as the superiors of Krishna also take the chance to offer transcendental loving service to Krishna. The service attitude of the devotees who play the parts of superiors of the Lord is very difficult to understand, but it can be very plainly understood in connection with the super excellence of their particular service to Lord Krishna. So that's their service to Lord Krishna, is to act in that capacity. Right? To function in the relationship in that capacity. And Krishna wants to relate in these ways. Right? Because it's one of the rasas. So they do it as a service to Krishna. Yes.
So according to this description, is it that we cultivate Dasya Rasa towards Mahaprabhu, and then with Krishna, whatever it is, it will be revealed?
Yes. Yes, because Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is taking the mood of Radharani. So our mood of Radharani is that of service. So that's why that mood is there. There isn't another mood of Lord Chaitanya. It means he may have his eternal associates who are taking these moods. You know, Sachi Mata and them, but that's not our business. A vivid example is the servant of Mother Jashoda to Krishna, which is distinct. In the feature of Narayana, the Lord can accept services only from his associates who play parts in which they are equal or less than him. But in the feature of Lord Krishna, he accepts service very plainly from his fathers, teachers, and other elders who are his superiors, as well as from his equals and his subordinates. This is very wonderful. Right, so then the scale of rasa becomes expanded because of this. Right, so this is something very, very special you see in Lord Krishna. That's why then he is the supreme personality of Godhead. You have personality of Godhead on all these different levels, but this is the supreme. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Next verse. For evidence, please listen to the examples described in the revealed scriptures, which are corroborated by the realization of great souls. Although no one is a more respected elder for Krishna than Nanda Maharaj in Braja, who, in transcendental paternal love, has no knowledge that his son is the supreme personality of Godhead. Still, ecstatic love makes him, what to speak of others, feel himself to be a servant of Lord Krishna. He too prays for attachment and devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, as the words from his own mouth give evidence. Quote, "My dear Uddhava, please hear me. In truth, Krishna is my son, but even if you think that he is God, I will still bear towards him my own feelings for my son. May my mind be attached to your Lord Krishna. May our minds be attached to the lotus feet of your Lord Krishna. May our tongues chant his holy names, and may our bodies lie prostrate before him. Whatever we want, wherever we wander in the material universe, under the influence of karma by the will of the Lord, may our auspicious activities cause our attraction to Lord Krishna to increase." Right, so he doesn't go outside of his rasa. So the point is you're talking about him as God, so may our attraction for your God, you know, increase within our hearts. But it increases as he's our son. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada. These verses from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47, 66-67 were spoken by the denizens of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj and his associates, to Uddhava, who had come from Mathura. Remember, because there's that one point where, because of their feeling separation, then in Dwarka, if there's someone's feeling too much separation and being overwhelmed in their rasa, they point out the glories of the Lord, and the person then drops out of that rasa into servitorship, and then things come back into balance. Right? So he tried that on Nanda Maharaj and Mother Shok. It didn't work. So he was impressed. So then here he's just saying, yes, so, you know, let this, you have to have that attraction. So let my attraction for your Lord Krishna increase. But that Lord Krishna is his son. So, yeah. Lord Krishna's friends in Vrindavan, headed by Sri Dharma, have pure fraternal affection for Lord Krishna and have no idea of his opulences. Although they fight with him and climb upon his shoulders, they worship his lotus feet in a spirit of servitude. Quote, "Some of the friends of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, massaged his feet, and others, whose sinful reactions had been destroyed, fanned him with handheld fans." So they like to serve. It's just the mood. Srila Prabhupada. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15-17, describes how Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram were playing with the cowherd boys after killing Dinakasura in Talaba. Even the beloved girlfriends of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis, the dust of whose feet was desired by Sri Uddhava, and who are more dear to Krishna than anyone else, regard themselves as Krishna's maidservants. Quote, "O Lord, remover of the afflictions of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, O hero of all women, O Lord who destroys the pride of your devotees by your sweet, gentle smile, O friend, we are your maidservants. Please fulfill our desires and show us your attractive lotus face." Srila Prabhupada. This verse, in connection with the rasa dance of Krishna with the gopis, is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-6, when Krishna disappeared from his companions in the course of dancing. The gopis sang like this in separation from Krishna. O Uddhava, it is indeed regrettable that Krishna resides in Mathura. Does he remember his father's household affairs and his friends, the cowherd boys? O great soul, does he ever talk about us, his maidservants? When will he lay on our heads his aguru-scented hand? Srila Prabhupada. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-21. In the section known as the Brahmar Gita, when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, in complete separation from Krishna, sang like this. What to speak of the other gopis, even Sri Radhika, who in every respects is the most elevated of them all, and who has bound Sri Krishna forever by her loving attributes, serves his feet as his maidservant. Quote, O my Lord, O my husband, O my most dearly beloved, O mighty armed Lord, where are you? Where are you? O my friend, reveal yourself to your maidservant, who is very much aggrieved by your absence. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-39, when the rasa dance was going on in full swing. Krishna left all the gopis and took only Srimati Radharani with him. At that time, all the gopis lamented, and Srimati Radharani, being proud of her position, requested Krishna to carry her wherever he liked. Then Krishna immediately disappeared from the scene, and Srimati Radharani began to lament. In Dwarkadham, all the queens, headed by Rukmini, also consider themselves maidservants of Lord Krishna. Quote, when Jarasandha and other kings, bows and arrows upraised, stood ready to deliver me in charity to Shishupala, he forcibly took me from their midst, as a lion takes his share of goats and sheep. The dust of his lotus feet is therefore the crown of unconquerable soldiers. May those lotus feet, which are the shelter of the goddess of fortune, be the object of my worship. Footnote 19. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:83-8 was spoken by Queen Rukmini. These, I think, were when they were, I think, Draupadi, and they were discussing how they all were married to Krishna. Okay. Knowing me to be performing austerities with the desire to touch his feet, he came with his friend Arjuna and accepted my hand. Yet I am but a maidservant engaged in sweeping the floor of the house of Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Like the previous verse, this verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:83-11. In connection with the meeting of the family ladies of the Kuru and Yadu dynasties in Samantapachita. At the time of that meeting, the queen of Krishna named Kalindi spoke to Draupadi in this way. Ah, yes, because Krishna and Arjuna, they were out walking, and then Kalindi, because they were next to the Jamuna, and then she came at that time. Through austerity and through renunciation of all attachments, we have become maidservants in the home of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is satisfied in himself. Srila Prabhupada. During the same incident, this verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:83-39, was spoken by Draupadi, to Draupadi by a queen of Krishna's names, Lakshmana. So all this is showing how Advaitacharya, even though he's the Supreme Lord, and Krishna is respecting him as his senior, he still finds the most pleasure in the attitude of servant of Krishna. And then showing how all the devotees, from Braj, Dwarka, whether the queens, anybody, they all find this, the service to Krishna is the most pleasurable. What to speak of others? Even Lord Baladeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of emotions like pure friendship and paternal love. Srila Prabhupada. Although Lord Baladeva appeared before the birth of Lord Krishna, and is therefore Krishna's worshipable elder brother, he used to act as Krishna's eternal servitor. In the spiritual sky, all the Vaikuntha planets are predominated by the quadruple expansions of Krishna known as the Chaturvyuha. They are direct expansions from Baladeva. It is the singularity of the Supreme Lord that everyone in the spiritual sky thinks himself a servitor of the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda points out that all the liberated souls in the spiritual world, they all have the same understanding. Right? There may be difference in rasa and that intimacy and those things, but as far as that philosophical point and about being the servant of the Lord, there's no difference of opinion there. It's not that all different realms they have different ideas. No, there's one understanding of the philosophy. So. It is the singularity of the Supreme Lord that everyone in the spiritual sky thinks himself a servant of the Lord. According to social convention, one may be superior to Krishna, but factually everyone engages in his service. Therefore, in the spiritual sky or the material sky, in all the different planets, no one is able to supersede Lord Krishna or demand service from him. On the contrary, everyone engages in the service of Lord Krishna. As such, the more a person engages in the service of the Lord, the more he is important. And conversely, the more one is bereft of the transcendental service of the Lord, the more he invites the bad fortune of material contamination. That's why we say it's not about how much good qualities they have, it's about whether they're connected to Krishna. In the material world, although materialists want to become one with God or compete with God, everyone directly or indirectly engages in the service of the Lord. The more one is forgetful of the service of Krishna, the more he is considered to be dying. Therefore, one develops pure Krishna consciousness, he immediately develops his eternal servitorship to Krishna. Yeah. He also considers himself a servant of Lord Krishna. Indeed, who is there who does not have this conception of being a servant of Lord Krishna? He who is Sesha, Sankarsana, with his thousands of mouths, serves Sri Krishna by assuming 10 forms. Rudra, who is an expansion of Sadashiva, and who appears in unlimited universes, is also a Gunavatara, qualitative incarnation, and is the ornament of all the demigods in the endless universes. But still, he has a service attitude. Srila Prabhupada. There are 11 expansions of Rudra, or Lord Shiva. They are as follows. Ajay Kapat, Abhi Bradna, Virupaksha, Raivata, Hara, Bahurupa, Deva, Shreshta, Triambaka, Savitra, Jayanta, Pinaka, and Aparajita. Besides these expansions, there are 8 forms of Rudra called earth, water, fire, air, sky, the sun, the moon, and Somayaji. Somayaji? You know? No? Generally, all these Rudras have 5 faces, 3 eyes, and 10 arms. Sometimes it's found that Rudra is compared to Brahma and considered a living entity. But when Rudra is explained to be a partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's compared to Sesha. Right, so that's why in this thing is there, is that Balaram is there, he's expanding everything. So even his expansions, where it gets even to this aspect of Shivata, that even they have the aspect of servant. So him, all his expansions have that mood, and even the expansions of the expansions in the root forms of Rudra, then they also have that service attitude. Lord Shiva is therefore simultaneously an expansion of Lord Vishnu and, in his capacity for annihilating the creation, one of the living entities. As an expansion of Lord Vishnu, he is called Hara, and he is transcendental to the material qualities. But when he is in touch with Tamaguna, he appears contaminated by the material modes of nature. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam and the Brahma Samhita. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, it is stated that Lord Rudra is always associated with material nature when she is in the neutral, unmanifested stage. But when the modes of nature, material nature, are agitated, he associates the material nature from a distance. In the Brahma Samhita, the relationship between Vishnu and Lord Shiva is compared to that between milk and yogurt. Milk is converted into yogurt by certain additives. But although milk and yogurt have the same ingredients, they have different functions. Similarly, Lord Shiva is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, yet because of his taking part in the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, he is considered to be changed, like milk converted into yogurt, right? So a different function. He doesn't do what Vishnu does. In the Puranas, it is found that Shiva appears sometimes from the heads of Brahma and sometimes from the head of Vishnu. The annihilator, Rudra, is born from Sankarsana and the ultimate fire to burn the whole creation. In the Vayu Purana, there is a description of Sadashiva in one of the Vaikuntha planets. That Sadashiva is a direct expansion of Lord Krishna's form for pastimes. It is said that Sadashiva, Lord Shambhu, is an expansion from the Sadashiva in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Vishnu, and that his consort, Mahamaya, is an expansion of Rama Devi, or Lakshmi. Mahamaya is the origin or birthplace of material energy. So you have this aspect of that transformation. So that's how you get it. It's how Krishna is doing everything, because it's through his incarnations and that he's controlling everything. Yes.
When it says direct extension of Lord Krishna's form for pastime, does that mean Prakash?
That I'm not sure.
Okay.
You'd have to look in the. If you have the Bengali, you can maybe see there what they use there.
No, I don't. Because it's coming here.
Yes, no. Good. Yeah. Does that make sense? So, in other words, these subtle differences there, just like we're explaining at Dvaitacharya, there's a subtle aspect, he's different, but at the same time he's the same. So here he's the same, but at the same time he's different. The function is different. He also desires only to be a servant of Lord Krishna. Sri Sadashiva always says, "I am a servant of Lord Krishna." Intoxicated by ecstatic love for Lord Krishna, he becomes overwhelmed and incessantly dances without clothing and sings about Lord Krishna's qualities and pastimes. All the emotions, whether those of father, mother, teacher, or friend, are full of sentiments of servitude. That is the nature of love of Krishna. Lord Krishna, the one master and the Lord of the universe, is worthy of being served by everyone. Indeed, everyone is but a servant of his servants. That same Lord Krishna has descended as Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone, therefore, is his servant. Some accept him, whereas others do not. Yet everyone is his servant. One who does not accept him, however, will be ruined by his sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada. When a living entity forgets his constitutional position, he prepares himself to be an enjoyer of the material resources. Sometimes he is also misguided by the thought that service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not absolute engagement. In other words, he thinks that there are many other engagements for a living entity besides the service of the Lord. Such a foolish person does not know that in any position he either directly or indirectly engages in activities of service to the Supreme Lord. Actually, if a person does not engage in the service of the Lord, all inauspicious activities encumber him, because service of the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya, is the constitutional position of the infinitesimal living entities. Because the living entity is infinitesimal, the allurement of material enjoyment attracts him, and he tries to enjoy matter, forgetting his constitutional position. But when his dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, he no longer engages in the service of matter, but engages in the service of the Lord. In other words, when one is forgetful of his constitutional position, he appears in the position of the Lord of material nature. Even at that time, he remains a servant of the Supreme Lord, but in an unqualified and contaminated state. Because everything is Krishna. You're still going to be following the laws of nature that Krishna is giving. So in this way, indirectly, you're serving Krishna. But the results you get from this indirect worship is just the material. You're dealing with Krishna as the material, so you only get reciprocation within the material. Does that make sense? So that's different from the sages, who understand that the potency that's making everything work is Krishna. And so they deal with the external in connection with Krishna, therefore they become purified. Right? That makes sense? So it's different. So one understands and accepts, the other one doesn't. Quote, "I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants." Saying this, the Dvaita Prabhu dances and loudly sings. Then, at the next moment, he quietly sits down. The source of the sentiment of servitude is indeed Lord Balaram. The plenary expansions who follow him are all influenced by that ecstasy. So Balaram has that ecstasy of service to Krishna, so all his expansions also follow in that loop. Lord Sankarsana, who is one of his incarnations, always considers himself a devotee. Another of his incarnations, Lakshmana, who is very beautiful and opulent, always serves Lord Rama. The Vishnu who lies on the causal ocean is an incarnation of Lord Sankarsana, and accordingly, the emotion of being a devotee is always present in his heart. Dvaita Acharya is a separate expansion of him. He always engages in devotional service with his thoughts, words, and actions. By his words, he declares, "I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya." Thus, with his mind, he always thinks, "I am his devotee." With his body, he worshipped the Lord by offering Ganges water and tulsi leaves. And by preaching devotional service, he delivered the entire universe. Sesha Sankarsana, who holds all the planets on his heads, expands himself in different bodies to render service to Lord Krishna. These are all incarnations of Lord Krishna. Yet, we always find that they act as devotees. Right, so they're all expansions of Krishna, so they're non-different from Krishna, but they all act as devotees of Krishna. The scriptures call them incarnations as devotees, bhakta avatara. Position of being such an incarnation is above all others. Right, so does that make sense? So that's Advaita Acharya, he's the bhakta avatar. Right? Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in different incarnations, but his appearance in the role of a devotee is more beneficial to the conditioned souls than the other incarnations with all their opulences. Because as devotee, since that's the mood that we want to catch, when the Lord is taking that mood, we tend to follow that. But when he's just coming and performing his wonderful pastimes with his opulences, we may or may not catch that servant mood. We may appreciate or some other aspect, we may not catch that servant mood. But when the Lord and all his expansions come as servant, then the living entities tend to take up that mood of service. Because if that's the topmost position, then that's what you do. You know, we always want the best. Right?
We may even catch the enjoyment, like the hajjis.
Yes.
So might compete.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh. Yeah. Looks fun.
Yeah. So that's the problem. Lord Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and all others are his parts or partial incarnations. We find that the whole and the part behave as superior and inferior. The source of all incarnations has the emotions of a superior when he considers himself the master. And he has the emotions of an inferior when he considers himself a devotee. The position of being a devotee is higher than that of equality with Lord Krishna. For the devotees are dearer to Lord Krishna than his own self. So all these Vishnu incarnations, they all, when they're master, when the people are dealing in that way, they have that. But they all consider themselves servant of Krishna. That attitude of servant of Krishna, then that is the better position. Because the devotees are more dear. So Advaita Acharya, he can take that mood of master because he's Vishnu, but him taking the mood of he's servant of Krishna, then that's even more dear to Krishna. Right? Not that he's not the Lord in where it's appropriate. Srila Prabhupada. Conception of oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inferior to that of eternal service to the Lord, because Lord Krishna is more affectionate to devotees than to his personal self. In Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68, the Lord clearly says, Sadhavo hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham mad anyat te na jananti naham te bhyo manag api. The devotees are my heart, and I am the heart of my devotees. My devotees do not know anyone but me. Similarly, I do not know anyone but my devotees. End quote. This is the intimate relation between the Lord and his devotees. Right, because the oneness, then it's, how you say it? The servitorship is going to create that mood of the devotee, and it has the rasa to it. The other one, where he's, you're the equalness with the Lord, it's only going to give that atmarama feeling to it. Mm-hmm. Because it's just the existence of his position of being God. So we see as even the incarnations of the Lord prefer to see themselves as devotees. So that's why we see that pastime where Karana Dakshai Vishnu then makes that whole arrangement so Krishna and Arjuna will come to see him. Because then he can render service. The original Bhakta Avatara is Sankarsana. Sri Advaita is counted amongst such incarnations. The glories of Sri Advaita Acharya are boundless, for his sincere vibrations brought about Lord Chaitanya's descent upon this earth. He liberated the universe by preaching Sankirtana. Thus the people of the world receive the treasure of love of Godhead through the mercy of Sri Advaita. Who can describe the unlimited glories of Advaita Acharya? I write here as much as I have known from great authorities. I offer my obeisances 10 million times to the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya. Please do not take offense at this. Your glories are as fathomless as millions of oceans and seas. Speaking of its great measure is a great offense indeed. All glories, right? To just saying that it's like it's that's not even enough. Right? Sorry?
Yeah. Skip the previous verse, 101.
101 to 111.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I was wondering what happened there.
He did the Bhagavad Gita verse.
Okay. Lord Krishna considers his devotees greater than himself. In this connection, the scriptures provide an abundance of evidence. Quote, O Uddhava, neither Brahma nor Shankara nor Sankarsana, nor Lakshmi, nor even my own self is as dear to me as you. Footnote 20. This is the text of Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 14, 15. The sweetness of Lord Krishna is not to be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. It is to be tasted only through the sentiment of servitude. This conclusion of the revealed scriptures is also the realization of the experienced devotee. So that's why it's also, we see indirectly showing how the impersonal realization or going for this Brahman realization, then how much taste can it have? If those who are, non-differ from Krishna, take the mood of service and render service with their transcendental senses, why would the living entity get so much ananda from this? Mm-hmm. Fools and rascals, however, cannot understand the opulences of devotional emotions. Baladev, Lakshmana, Advaita Acharya, Lord Nityananda, Lord Sesh, and Lord Sankarsana taste the nectarine mellows of the transcendental bliss of Lord Krishna by recognizing themselves as being his devotees and servants. They are all mad with that happiness, and they know nothing else. What to speak of others, even Lord Krishna himself becomes thirsty to taste his own sweetness. He tries to taste his own sweetness, but he cannot do so without accepting the emotions of the devotee. Because right? You have to have that attitude, otherwise, unless you change that, you can't do it. Therefore, Lord Krishna accepted the position of a devotee and descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who is complete in every respect. He tastes his own sweetness through the various emotions of a devotee. I have formally explained this conclusion. All the incarnations are entitled to the emotions of devotees. There's no higher bliss than this. Srila Prabhupada. All the different incarnations of Lord Vishnu have the right to play the roles of servitors of Lord Krishna by descending as devotees. When an incarnation gives up the understanding of his godhood and plays the part of a servitor, he enjoys a greater taste of transcendental mellows than when he plays the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because as an ashray, there's more taste than there is of the disha. That's just the way it is. Right, so Krishna, he may arrange this, everybody else enjoys more than him, though he's the supreme enjoyer. So when you serve him so that as the supreme enjoyer, then the devotee enjoys more. It's just how it works. Right, so Krishna himself comes as a devotee. Okay. The original Bhakta avatar is Sankarsana. Sri Advaita is counted among such incarnations. The glories of Sri Advaitacharya are boundless. For his sincere vibrations brought about Lord Chaitanya's descent upon this earth. He liberated the universe by preaching Sankirtana. Thus the people of the world receive the treasure of love of Godhead through the mercy of Sri Advaita. Who can describe the unlimited glories of Advaitacharya? I write here as much as I have known from great authorities. I offer my obeisances 10 million times to the lotus feet of Sri Advaitacharya. Please do not take offense at this. Your glories are as fathomless as millions of oceans and seas. Speaking of its measure is a great offense indeed. All glories are glories to Sri Advaitacharya. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the superior Lord Nityananda. Thus, in two verses, I have described the truth concerning Advaitacharya. Now, O devotees, please hear about the five truths, Panchatattva. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. Advaitacharya is another form of Mahavishnu. Advaita, the superintendent of the cosmic manifestation, has descended in the form of Advaitacharya to associate with Lord Chaitanya. When he is addressed as the servitor of Lord Chaitanya, his glories are magnified because unless one is invigorated by the mentality of servitorship, one cannot understand the mellows derived from devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And so even Lord Vishnu is preaching the glories of serving Krishna because of that service attitude. Yes. Means be servant. That's why he called them, so that he could see them and render service because they're his superior. Does that make sense? So the mellows of devotional service—that's the topmost. So it's the performance of engaging the senses in the Lord's service to please the Lord. In that aspect, that's the highest thing. Does that make sense? So that's why we say when we're given immediately that we're the soul, we're not the body, we're the soul, we're servant of Krishna. We're already given the highest understanding. Okay. It's just we don't have the experience to appreciate how profound it is. Chapter 7. Lord Chaitanya in five features. Pratigya. Although they are on the same platform, they have appeared differently in order to facilitate tasting of transcendental mellows. Adhyaya Prakashika. The seventh chapter describes the Panchatattva. Sri Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Garadhara, and Sri Vasa. They all combine together to distribute love of Godhead everywhere. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 17:3-20. In his Anubhasya commentary, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the Panchatattva as follows. The supreme energetic, the personality of Godhead, manifesting in order to enjoy five kinds of pastimes, appears as the members of the Panchatattva. Actually, there is no difference between them because they are situated on the absolute platform, but they manifest different spiritual varieties as a challenge to the impersonalist to taste different kinds of spiritual humors, rasas. In the Vedas it is said, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. Quote, the varieties of energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are differently known. End quote. From this statement of the Vedas, one can understand that there are eternal varieties of humors or tastes in the spiritual world. Sri Gauranga, Sri Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Garadhara, and Sri Vas Thakur are all on the same platform. But in spiritually distinguishing between them, one should understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the form of a devotee. Nityananda Prabhu appears in the form of a devotee's spiritual master. Advaita Prabhu is the form of a bhakta, devotee, incarnation. Garadharpana is the energy of a devotee, and Sri Vas Thakur is a pure devotee. Thus, there are spiritual distinctions between them. The Bhakta Rupa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhakta Surupa, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and the Bhakta Avatara, Sri Advaita Prabhu, are described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. his immediate manifestation and his plenary expansion. And they all belong to the Vishnu category. Although the spiritual and marginal energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are predominated subjects. Whereas Lord Vishnu is the predominator. As such, although they are on the same platform, they have appeared differently in order to facilitate tasting of transcendental mellows. Actually, however, there's no possibility of one being different from the other, for the worshipper and the worshipable cannot be separated at any stage. On the absolute platform, one cannot be understood without the other. Purport to text 5. This is from the Anuvasya, or this is from Srila Prabhupada?
So, it's from the Anuvasya, but it was quoted, it's his purport to text 5, because there was no introduction to that chapter.
Okay.
But this
No, it's fine. I'm just saying, probably just point out then,
anytime he starts like that, it's paraphrasing.
Okay, so Jen, we just understand this from there. Okay.
Right, and other times he'll put it in direct quotes if he's literally translating, otherwise if he's paraphrasing, he'll just start it like that.
Okay. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 39. Commentary on verse 14. Verses 40 to 159. Lord Chaitanya converts the Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi. And verses 160 to 171. Lord Chaitanya disperses his troops. Verses 1 to 39, commentary on verse 14. Let me first offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the ultimate goal of life for one bereft of all possessions in this material world, and is the only meaning for one advancing in spiritual life. Thus, let me write about his magnanimous contribution of devotional service and love of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. A person in the conditioned stage of life of material existence is in the atmosphere of helplessness. But the conditioned soul under the illusion of Maya or the external energy thinks that he is completely protected by his country, society, friendship, and love. Not knowing that at the time of death, none of these can save him. The laws of material nature are so strong that none of our material possessions can save us from the cruel hands of death. In the Bhagavad Gita 13.9, it is stated, Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha doshadu darshanam. One who is actually advancing must always consider the four principles of miserable life. Namely, birth, death, old age, and disease. One cannot be saved from all these miseries unless he takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore the only shelter for all conditioned souls. An intelligent person, therefore, does not put his faith in any material possessions, but completely takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a person is called a kinchana, or one who does not possess anything in the world. But so, he doesn't. So, what's the not possession means? You don't count them as yours. You count them as things that you use in Krishna's service. That's your how they're identified. So, someone can be a kinchana, meaning that they're renounced and living in that ashram, so they have very little, or they could have so much facility and all that, but see it all in connection with Krishna, like Yudhishthir Maharaj. So, his whole kingdom. For Krishna's service. So therefore he is also a kinchana. That's how he understands Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also known as Akinchana Gochara, for he can be achieved by a person who does not put his faith in material possessions. Right? There's no faith that they'll bring us happiness, they'll bring us satisfaction. Therefore, for the fully surrendered soul, who have no material possessions on which to depend, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the only shelter. Right? So you're not dependent upon these. You're engaging in the Lord's service. They're there, you render service with them. If not, you render service with something else. Right? It means you'll always find something as a way to render service. Right? So that makes sense. But when we identify, then we become dependent upon these things. Because then that is your identity. They are how you have your position, your status, or whatever it is that you're looking for. It'll all become because of identifying and being dependent on them. That's the fun part. We think we're being the lord of our possessions, but we're actually dependent upon our possessions. Everyone depends on dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and ultimately moksha, salvation. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, due to his magnanimous character, can give more than salvation. Therefore, in this verse, the words hinartadika sadakam indicate that although by material estimation, salvation is of a quality superior to the inferior interests of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Above salvation, there is the position of devotional service and transcendental love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the bestower of this great benediction. Right? So that's the means that, in other words, that's like you said there, so that's the fifth. You could say the fifth, how you say?
Purusharta.
Purusharta. But it's also the fifth dimension.
Turiya.
Turiya means the fourth. No, here's love of God, that's the fifth. Turiya means being situated on the spiritual platform.
That's the fourth.
So when you see when the acharyas talk about it, Turiya, that means that you're in a relationship with the Lord, but they're talking about the situation of being in that. For the impersonalist, they'll take Turiya simply to be means you're out of the material world, you're on the spiritual platform. But as Madhvacharya points out, that's not actually the position of Turiya, because you'll fall from this, you're not really there. But when you enter in a relationship with the Lord, then you're actually there. But it's prema which is beyond that. So that's why the point is we're not interested in liberation, because liberation is four kinds of Turiya. We're interested in what's beyond that, that prema. Does that make sense? Let me offer my glorification of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who has taken shelter of his lotus feet is the most glorified person. In the beginning, I've discussed the truth about the spiritual master. Now I shall explain the Panchatattva. Because you remember, there's the five features of the Lord, but then there's the sixth, the spiritual master. Because without the spiritual master, we don't understand the five. Right? So they go together.
That was the first verse, was the six in one. It was the Panchatattva plus the Guru.
Yes. Also, we see when doing the deity worship, talking about the deities are there, Lord Chaitanya is there, and then there's the spiritual master. So our connection with the Panchatattva is through the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada. In the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, the author, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, has described the initiator spiritual master and the instructor spiritual master in the verse beginning with the words Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isham Ishavatarakan. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 1:1. In that verse, there are six transcendental subject matters, of which the truth regarding the spiritual master, Gurun, has always already been described. Now the author will describe the other five tattvas, truths, namely Isha Tattva, the Supreme Lord, his expansion, Prakash Tattva, his incarnation, Avatar Tattva. His energy, Shakti Tattva, and his devotee, Bhakta Tattva. These five tattvas incarnate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus the Lord executes his Sankirtan movement with great pleasure. I wonder if that's a rule. If you have a light, it'll come on quicker, and you don't have a light, it'll go on longer.
Maybe.
When you wait for the light to come on, it doesn't come on. Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, there is the following statement regarding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangam Pangastra Parshadam Yajai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. In the age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates. by performance of the Samkirtan Yajna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his plenary expansion, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, his incarnation, Sri Advaita Prabhu, his internal potency, Sri Garadhar Prabhu, and his marginal potency, Sri Vas Prabhu. He is in the midst of them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by these other tattvas. Therefore, our obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are complete when we say Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Mahavaranyavatara, the most magnanimous incarnation. For he does not consider the offenses of the fallen souls. Thus, to deliver the full benefit of the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learn the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and then chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That will be very effective.
Some people call this similar calls, and then they start chanting Gauranga Nityananda beats, like 16 rounds.
A bunch of tattva.
Just the names. Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga Nityananda.
But where do they get that from? Because that doesn't say here. It says learn the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Mm. It doesn't say learn the Gaur Nityananda Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Mantra or something. Means you can do all these things, but the point is if one's doing them to please the Lord has come and is chanting Hare Krishna. So the point is that, but our approach to Hare Krishna is through the Panchatattva. Therefore, before chanting Hare Krishna, we chant the Panchatattva mantra. But the Hare Krishna mantra is the mantra to be chanted. Right? That's the original mantra. And so, if you want to please Lord Chaitanya, you'll do that. You know, you can do all these other things, but then where is it from? What's the authority? You know, who does it? We don't read about anybody else doing it. Do we read about any of the associates doing that? No. They're always chanting Hare Krishna or, you know, or some song about the glories of the Lord and stuff like that.
Later there's, when they're doing Harinam, they do Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. And Srila Prabhupada comments that this is another version of the Maha Mantra.
Yeah. Spiritually, there are no differences between these five tattvas, for on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet, there are also varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste those spiritual varieties, one should distinguish between them. In other words, you understand they're non-different, but at the same time, is they're different. And so, because of the variety, and therefore the different tastes. Because otherwise, you'll just appreciate the absolute platform. But you won't get the taste. So the taste is you're seeing the different positions and how they're interacting with the Lord. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself as five, as a devotee, Bhakta Rupa, the expansion of a devotee, Surupa Kam, incarnation of a devotee, Bhakta Avatara, pure devotee, Bhakta Kyam, and devotional energy, Bhakta Shakti Kam. Verse 14 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada. This confirms the Vedic Sutra Parasya Shaktir Vividhaya Shruyate. All these bhakta subjects taken together constitute Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. Right? So they're all Krishna, but at the same time, they're all different aspects. Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, the Supreme Controller. No one is greater than or equal to Sri Krishna. Yet he appears as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer in the rasa dance. He is the leader of the damsels of Braja, and all others are simply his associates. The self-same Lord Krishna advented himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his eternal associates, who are also equally glorious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the supreme controller, the one personality of Godhead, has ecstatically become a devotee. Yet his body is transcendental and not materially tinged. Srila Prabhupada. There are different tattvas, or truths, including Isha Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. Isha Tattva refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is the supreme living force. In the Katha Upanishad is said, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme eternal and the supreme living force. The living entities are also eternal and are also living forces, but they are very minute in quantity, whereas the Supreme Lord is the supreme living force and the supreme eternal. Right? So we ourselves, that energy, that we exist, and we're conscious and everything like that, but we're not able to expand that to the whole body. Krishna does all that. Right? And he does that in all bodies. Right? So he's the same. The supreme eternal never accepts a body of a temporary material nature, whereas the living entities, who are part and parcel of the supreme entity, are prone to do so. Thus, according to the Vedic mantras, the Supreme Lord is the supreme master of innumerable living entities. The Mayavadi philosophers, however, try to equate the minute living entities with the supreme living being. Because they recognize no distinctions between them, their philosophy is called Advaitavad, or monism. Factually, however, there is a distinction. This verse is especially meant to impart to the Mayavadi philosopher the understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Controller. The Supreme Controller of the Personality of Godhead is Krishna himself, but as a transcendental pastime, he has accepted the form of a devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, so they say it's all one, but it's being pointed out, no, there's more things happening than that. The transcendental mellow of conjugal love of Krishna is so wonderful that Krishna himself accepts the form of a devotee to relish and taste it fully. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme teacher, accepts the form of a devotee and accepts Lord Nityananda as his elder brother. Sri Advaitacharya is Lord Chaitanya's incarnation as a devotee. Therefore, these three tattvas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Gosai, are the predominators or masters. Srila Prabhupada. Gosai means Goswami. A person who has full control over the senses and mind is called a Goswami or Gosai. One who does not have such control is called a Godasa or servant of the senses and cannot become a spiritual master. A spiritual master who actually has control over the mind and senses is called Goswami. Although the Goswami title has become a hereditary designation for unscrupulous men, actually the title Gosai or Goswami began from Srila Rupa Goswami, who presented himself as an ordinary grihastha and minister in the government service, but became a Goswami when he was actually elevated by the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Goswami is not a hereditary title, but refers to one's qualifications. So, when he was a grihastha, he didn't present himself that way. Having heard from Lord Chaitanya, then he became. So, his idea is that the caste Goswamis, which are grihasthas, then just by being born into that position, they consider themselves Goswamis. But actually, you have to qualify. Not that they couldn't be a Goswami, but it's not because they were born, that's why they're a Goswami. When one is highly elevated in spiritual advancement, regardless of where from he comes, he may be called Goswami, right? So it's not by the family. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Advaita Gosai Prabhu are naturally Goswamis because they belong to the Vishnu Tattva category. As such, all of them are Prabhus, predominators or masters. And they are sometimes called Chaitanya Gosai, Nityananda Gosai, and Advaita Gosai. Unfortunately, their so-called descendants, who do not have the qualifications of Goswamis, have accepted this title as a hereditary designation or a professional degree. That is not in accordance with the Shastric injunctions. So if they're coming in those family lines, so either they're coming in the lines of the families of Nityananda and them, Advaita and that, and then calling themselves Gosais by birth, or coming from the six Goswamis from the Pujaris in their temples, then they consider themselves also Gosais. So this is what Prabhupada's talking about. But just because they're born in that, then they consider themselves, you know, qualified. One of them is Mahaprabhu, and the other two are Prabhus. These two Prabhus serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So they're all three Prabhus, but Lord Chaitanya is Mahaprabhu. And so the other two Prabhus serve Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Advaita Prabhu all belong to the same Vishnu category, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is nevertheless accepted as the supreme, and the other two Prabhus engaged in his transcendental loving service to teach ordinary living entities that every one of us is subordinate to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In another place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 5:142, it is said, Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arshab Bhitya. The only supreme master is Krishna, and all others, both Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, engage in the service of the Lord. Both the Vishnu Tattva as Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita, and the Jiva Tattva, Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, engage in the service of the Lord. One must distinguish between the Vishnu Tattva servitors and the Jiva Tattva servitors. The Jiva Tattva servitor, the spiritual master, is actually the servitor Godhead, a servitor God, as explained in previous verses. In the absolute world, there are no such differences. Yet one must observe these differences in order to distinguish the supreme from his subordinates. Right? They're not going on that principle. But you still have to, we have to distinguish those. There is simply what's the relationship in the rasa, that's how then they'll distinguish. But here we can see by the tattvas and these aspects then. The three predominators, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, are worshipable by all living entities. And the fourth principle, Sri Garadhar Prabhu, is to be understood as their worshipper. Srila Prabhupada. In his Anubhasya, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described the truth about the Panchatattva, explains that we should understand that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme predominator and that Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu are his subordinates, but are also predominators. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu are manifestations of the Supreme Lord. All of them are Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme, and are therefore worshipable by the living entities. Although the other two tattvas within the category of the Pancha Tattva, namely Shakti Tattva and Jiva Tattva, represented by Garadhar and Shivas, are worshippers of the Supreme Lord, they are in the same category because they eternally engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Means they're in the same category, means Garadhar and Shivas, that's a category?
Within
the Panchatattva, they're within the category of that. Yeah, so we have to be really careful here because we see how it's pointed out is there's that oneness in that, and they worship together, and they go together. It's five features of the one Lord. So that's why in this idea in offering Artik that you're offering, you know, whatever it is, the flowers, because it's famously the flowers where you see it, and you worship the Panchatattva with them, but the tendency is what after they worship Lord Chaitanya, they take some off and put it on his lotus feet. Then they do Nityananda and then take some off like this, because then they think, oh, you can't, you know, you can't have the flowers from the others go back, and they, you know, as Pujaris want to offer. Means they offered before they started, they could offer after, but when you offer in front of everyone, it gives them a special taste. Right? So, but the point is until you've worshipped the Panchatattva, you haven't really worshipped Lord Chaitanya. And that means also Gaur Bhaktivrinda. So until you've shown around, that time now you've done the worship. Now you take those flowers, now you place them on Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, how you like to put them. somebody says. So it's not understanding this point that he's spending this whole chapter establishing that we come up with these ideas in the deity worship. Yes.
So we see Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami before he explained the position of each, and then he explained the position of all of them together. So
yes.
Is it like a standard way of presenting things? Or?
Yes, yes. It means in the beginning he's probably mentioning how they all go together as one, but then it's just in short. Then he's going into all of them and then showing how they all go together. Yeah, it can work. It would be probably standard. Because you can relate there. Because you see it again. It's that element of the inductive and deductive. Mm-hmm. You're starting the jiva, and then relate how you relate to each personality, and then you see the overall, the how everything fits together. You know, in other words, you start with the kind of smaller pictures because we can relate, and then having an understanding, then we can see the big picture. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You can. I mean, you can put them out for distribution to the devotees,
yeah,
as prasad, or you can take them and throw them on the altar. That's the normal way of doing it. This other method that we do means we don't understand the philosophy. It was created by somebody who, in their own mental speculation, then came up, how can you offer, you know, that what's been offered to someone else, the prasad, like this? But the point is you're worshipping the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya in five features. So it is all Lord Chaitanya. Like that. But they came up with that, and because it makes sense to the mundane mind, it catches on. You know, there are things that Prabhupada taught that people still don't get. But if someone comes up with a mundane idea, bingo. Every temple you go to, they all do the same thing. Like that. And no one has to tell them. It just happens. You know. So that's the point, as we can see, is here, even philosophically, it doesn't work. Like that. So why would it come up? But, you know, whatever. It's popular. You know, I would say most people don't even understand much of the point where I'm talking about, where it came from. It came up in the 80s. Like that.
So when the Buddhists say, Panchatattva Bhagavan Vijaya, this is correct? They're saying also the
I mean, I've never seen Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami use that.
What was I missing?
Panchatattva Bhagavan Vijaya.
Very common in the temple.
I mean, it's not wrong, but at the same time, these things are being brought up to that we can see is that the philosophy is there, and then how to follow it. From this, don't take it into each and every little detail that's different than is like this and that. You know, because this is not the forum. Yes.
Maharaj, would Dargya is the same? Because normally they offer Dargya and then they...
But the reason there is your pouring is because when you offer Argya, the normal thing is you pour it into their hands. So we're offering like this and then pouring some, offering then pouring some. It's not because it's, you know, the prasad or something like that. It's that's how Argya is normally offered. The person comes, you pour in the conch, you pour it into their hands, and then they take it and sprinkle it on their heads. That's the, but we're showing like this, you know, as according to the rules of how it's offered, and then you're pouring some, and that indicates that is that aspect of it. Is that okay? You say it's like a, what do you call it? Yeah. Like bouncing off the ceiling or the floor. You go too much this way and then it's like blank looks, and you go down too much this way and then it, yeah. Okay, there are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord headed by Sri Vas Thakur who are known as unalloyed devotees. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are confidential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. Footnote 22. Devotees like Sri Damodar, Sri Gadadhara, and Sri Ramananda are different energies. Purport to text 6. Right, so there means the Jivas will be in the Srivas Adi. Mm-hmm. Like that. And the Shaktis will be in the Gadadhara Adi. Like that. Srila Prabhupada. In connection with verses 16 and 17, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his Anubhashya, quote, there are specific symptoms by which, oh, this is what you mean, sometimes he paraphrases, sometimes he just quotes it. There are specific symptoms by which the internal devotees and the unalloyed or pure devotees are to be known. All unalloyed devotees are Shakti Tattvas, or potencies of the Lord. Some of them are situated in conjugal love and others in filial affection, fraternity, and servitude. Certainly all of them are devotees. But by making a comparative study, it is found that the devotees or potencies who are engaged in conjugal love are better situated than the others. Thus, devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who engage in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude, and neutrality. When such devotees develop great attachment to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too become situated within the intimate circles of devotees in conjugal love. This gradual development of devotional service is described by Sri Narottam Das Thakur as follows.
The quote from the Anubhashya ended just before that sentence, and then will be
okay. Yeah. So all unalloyed devotees are Shakti. It's just a matter of potencies of the Lord. It's just a matter of whether the internal or the external. But the point is that of them, you'll see is that of the internal, that'll be the conjugal aspect that it's mentioning there. But then the others, then they'll be the other rasas. But then by worshipping Lord Chaitanya, then one, how you say, the gradual development, one brings one to that platform. Hmm? Yes?
One devotee told us that Vyakara Pandit feels that Kanjagaurasa, Vyakara Pandit.
Garadhar Pandit.
Kanjagaurasa told Lord Chaitanya. And that's why in his presence, Lord Chaitanya was himself like a Krishna, and he was not able to enjoy of attitude of Srimati Radharani in the presence of Vyakara Pandit. And he told the conclusion that we should not pray to Vyakara, Lord Chaitanya and Vyakara deity or the Vyakara deity, that we should worship the Panchatattva. Is it correct?
Not exactly. There's a mix of all kinds of stuff, huh?
Yeah.
The person who said this, have they been to India? Okay. The point is that why would, if, see, is Radharani is Krishna's best servant, right? And so Radharani knows perfectly how to please Krishna. No? And so she'll always act in such a way that will bring about Krishna's greatest pleasure. No? So now, if Krishna wants to taste that mellow of service to himself through the mood of Radharani's service, because if you're going to take the devotee position, then why you wouldn't take the complete devotee position, right? So that'll be Radharani. So if Krishna's taking that mood, why would Radharani as Gadadhar, if Krishna as Lord Chaitanya is taking that mood, why would Radharani as Gadadhar take that mood also? Means that's her relationship with Krishna, but Krishna's acting as her in her mood, so she basically just takes kind of a back seat to that. So I've never heard that Lord Chaitanya, otherwise why is it in the Sankirtan pastimes there in Puri, Gadadhar Pandit is there, and there he's absorbed in that love for Krishna and all that, and Gadadhar Pandit's there in the pictures. You know? Does that make sense? So, unless that's why it's very popular nowadays to not have them in the pictures.
This will actually be addressed a bit later. And that's where you get into the line of the Gauranagaras.
Yeah, the Gauranagaras.
If it's misunderstood,
it's
then you
the
take
bogus
it.
Of bogus lines, that philosophy.
There is no conjugal ras in Lord Chaitanya's pastime.
Yeah. So the point is it doesn't have any effect because she's there assisting. But the point is you can't separate Radha from Krishna, so that means she's always going to be around. She's not extending her mood to Lord Chaitanya. She's just assisting in Lord Chaitanya tasting her mood. So you won't have that problem. The Gauranagaris, that's their philosophy. And so that's where then they'll say is, you know, Lord Chaitanya is actually enjoying and this and that. And it's a whole mishmash. It's really... They are the, how you say, the apasampradaya of the apasampradayas. The other apasampradayas all consider them bogus. Okay? You know, and in this case, it might work out that it takes one to know one might be a valid position. Right? Does that make sense?
Also, Lord Chaitanya is always in the mood of separation, and Gadadhar Pandit supports that. So,
yeah.
However the mood is, then he and Swarup Damodar and Ramanand Roy will assert various things to nurture that mood.
Yes, because the point is if that was the case, why did it ain't going to Puri, but Gadadhar Pandit's there? You know? He went to Vrindavan, but that's because Gadadhar Pandit had taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas, so then she stayed. But the point is he came back and his, you know, all his pastimes there in Puri, you know, those 12 years and all that, then it was Gadadhar Pandit is there. He's always there with they're always together. Seven. Is Vishnu Priya's deity in the mood of master or servant? He's Lord Chaitanya. Why would he be in the mood of master? You know what I'm saying? So you do have that aspect of Gaur Narayan, but that doesn't mean that the deity is Lord Chaitanya. So all the aspects that he has, those flavors, they're all there. When Vishnu Priya herself may worship him, then he'll reciprocate in a way that would match his relationship with her. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have these other aspects. So we shouldn't get into all that. This is taking... You know, this is going into details that are very unimportant. Does that make sense? Okay. I've never heard anyone bring up that one. You?
No.
No. No one says that one. Okay.
Is it maybe similar to, you know, we worship Krishna as Lord in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan Radha Krishna? I don't know.
I don't think so that it's coming from that angle. Otherwise it wouldn't have that, you know, kind of, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Be a different kind of flavor. So, yeah. So that's why we have to stick very closely with what the acharyas give us. Otherwise, we can come up with all kinds of weirdo stuff. So,
because one of my friends told me that she wants to worship to the mitzvah, and I thought it was okay for this one.
Yeah, anyway, what's the problem? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Prabhupada. Because there's every chance that in the most intimate ecstasies of Lord Chaitanya and all that, he's doing that with Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai and those associates in the Gambira, so they don't have to worry that they're going to upset his mood or something.